Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. Has God been good to you? Several unrelated scriptures, but in my demented mind, I put them together. The first one, it's the first scripture that came to me that struck just made me think was when they came across the Red Sea, it was like they were amazed. And when they saw the chariots drown and the soldiers and the enemy gone, Miriam grabbed a tambourine and they started singing. And in the song they said, our God is a man of war. It was like they hadn't realized it before. They go like, dude, our God is a bad dude. He's a man of war. And then in a totally unrelated scripture, it says, and now let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Then on another totally unrelated scripture, it says, for heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool, or the place of his feet. Now, in the demented mind of Emory, right, I put these things together. If heaven is his throne and earth is his footstool, if God, who is a man of war, does indeed arise, where is his feet standing? On the earth. So that means when he stands as a man of war, everything in the earth is under his feet. Now, because you and I are joint heirs with him, I knew I was going to lose you there. Because you and I are joint heirs, whatever's under his feet. Oh, come on. Come on. Whatever's under his feet is also under. You're not getting what I'm trying to preach to you. Whatever is under his feet is under your feet. That's why we say, God arise. Oh, somebody shout amen. Praise the Lord. And so we're glad to be here, as I said last night, and we won't go through all the pleasantries of that stuff again. I am here to get out of the way. How's that? But just give me a few moments. Luke chapter 18. Don't you hate getting old? I hate getting old. I mean, I don't want to stay young, but I hate getting old. I actually don't hate getting old. I just hate all the stuff that accomplishes, comes with it. You know, hair falling out, eyes can't see no more, and teeth getting loose. You know, you had a six pack, now you got a keg. I said, God, is this like a joke to you? Do you like laugh, you know? Growing hair on the back of my shoulders. So what do I need hair back there for? It's like, put some hair up here on the top of my head, please. You know, then you start growing hair out of your ears. I'm kind of like, dude, that is wickedly nasty. You know, Now they even make little clippers for your nose and ears, like zzz, you know. It's a bad thing, man. So I think what I'm going to do is just all the hair that's growing in my nose and ears, just kind of combing up over, you know. Get my afro going on, you know. All right, I'm just joking. All right. Luke 18 and 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. To this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. And I want to talk to you about the provisions and privileges of prayer. Is that all right? The provisions and privileges of prayer. Amen. How many's going to help me preach? Amen. You may be seated. Still in her morning clothes, she summoned the prophet. When she called him, her situation was very dire in that creditors were coming. Their sole purpose was to take her sons into servitude to pay a debt. She was a widow, and she appealed to the man of God for help. In a like story, a woman leaves the place called Bethlehem, Judah, in time of a famine, and goes to a country called Moab, and there she loses her husband and sons. She changes her own name from pleasant to bitter. And in mourning clothes, again, she comes. Only thing she has is a daughter-in-law and a provision. Now, I want you to get what I'm saying. It's going to make sense here in a minute. Do you know who you are? I know that you have an idea of who he is. But do you know who you are? Because until you know who you are, you won't be able to take the advantage of the privileges that are afforded you. Are you with me yet? I've sat down across the table from people in human resources applying for, you know, jobs and an application. One of the questions that we always ask is, what about the benefits? Nobody wants to sign on with an organization or corporation that doesn't have benefits that'll cover your family. Almost as important as how much I'm going to make an hour. I guess y'all don't care about money here in Alabama. Because I want to know, what's this job paying? That's the first thing. And the second thing I want to know, what kind of benefits do I get out of this job? I want to tell you that when you serve God, God is no less than a corporation or an organization. You have benefits. Not only that, you have full coverage. I I said I wasn't going to say this, but some of you just sitting there, I need a little help early on. I want you to understand that God is not going to ask you to come and labor in the field with him and not cover you. God is not going to ask you to leave all and join in with him and that not give you some benefits. You're not going to leave your mother, your father, your home, and you're not hearing what I'm preaching, and God not extend to you some privileges. I've got more benefits serving God than I ever had working it. Oh, you're not hearing. On my job, they gave me health benefits, but in God, I got healing benefits. I believe sometimes we don't understand the privileges that we have. We don't understand the provisions that God has made for us when we decided to follow Jesus. I know it's not all going to be great. It's not all going to be good, but friend, I've got certain privileges that other people that are not serving God, they don't have the privileges that I have. They don't have the blessing. Oh my God, help me. If there ever were people on the face of the earth today that should be excited about what they have, it should be the apostolic one. Why? Because I've got benefits, friend. Better than Blue Cross. Better than Prudential. You're not hearing what I'm saying. There's no copay. The psalm writer says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. I want to know, do you understand something? That your God is a beneficiary God. I wonder if you understand that God wants to do you good. I wonder if you understand that God's aching to bless you. I wonder if you understand that God's not looking to put you down. He's looking to pick you up. I wonder if you understand God's not ready to put you aside. He's ready to bring you to the forefront. Oh, come on and help me now. Don't you believe the lie of hell that says God doesn't care for you. Don't sit around and wonder, does God really love me? Don't say, no, friend, that's not even in the equation. He first loved us. That's why we get the ability to love him. The Bible said that God has already commended his love toward us. He's already showed us, and you're not hearing what I'm saying. Benefits come to those that worship the Lord. Benefits come. Help me, somebody. Not only do I have benefits, but my wife is covered. My children are covered. My grandchildren are covered. My great-grandchildren, even folks in my family that don't serve God are covered by my benefits. We got kids that are not in church, but they don't understand. They're surviving on the privileges that God gives me and my wife. I know some of y'all don't understand what I'm saying because you think God doesn't care about you, or you bought the devil's lie, lock, stock, and barrel. Yeah, you don't. You know what? And you're sitting there, and you won't even fill out an application. You won't even take advantage of the benefits because hell has convinced you you don't have any. You convinced God wants you to live in that kind of condition. I'm convinced that God wants the best for me, whatever that is. I said, whatever that is. We happened to be in Dallas last year about Thanksgiving time. And our backslid daughter got in a car accident, rolled the car, crushed it, knocked every window out. They had to open up the top and drag her out with the jaws of life. When they got her to the hospital, she had a few scratches and a contusion. Here's a backslid apostolic Pentecostal girl. And when we walked into the emergency room, my wife wasn't expecting to see gigobs and all this stuff. And when we walked, we saw our daughter laying there with an IV and a Band-Aid. What are you trying to tell me? I've got benefits. I've got full coverage. Who wouldn't want to serve a God like the God we're serving? Who wouldn't want to worship a God like the God we're serving? Who would? Oh my. Are you hearing what I'm preaching to you today? Brother Wilbex just told me that his son rolled his new Suburban and just walked away. These things just don't happen. Other folks get crushed and killed and we walk away. Why? Because we got bit. Because we got benefits. Oh, you're not hearing what I'm saying. I heard somebody say God's retirement program is somewhere out of this world. Honey, I'm not interested in what's out of this world. I don't need that stuff out of this world. I need it right here. I'm sorry. I'm not waiting on some glad morning when this life is over. I want. I'm not waiting on a sweet by and by. We'll understand. No, 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 no. I've got benefits right now. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Are we the sons of God? Some of us are content. Well, one of these days. No, 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 no. I'm putting in my application now. Not one of these days. Right now. I'm covered right now. My children are covered right now. My grandchildren, you're not hearing what I'm preaching. Oh, come on, come on, come on. We had a backslid grandson that just got in a car accident and would have thrown him over a cliff to his death. And when they drug him out of the car, all he had needed was a couple of stitches in his hindest parts. Why? Because he's got a godly grandmother. You're not hearing what I'm preaching to you today. I'm telling you, there are some privileges and there are some provisions. So Jesus said, that's why a man should always pray and not faint. You never know what tomorrow's going to bring. You never know what crisis is going to come. You don't know what trouble's going to knock on your door. You don't know what sickness is going to visit your home. You don't have the luxury of not praying. A man should always pray. Why? There's provisions and there's benefits. When you begin to pray, God covers you. Throw away the semantical argument. Forget all the stuff about will God answer me and how long will it take? Those questions gender strife and deplete your faith. There's nothing in the book that causes me to ask him when. He just said, pray. I used to be caught up on how God does things and when God's going to do things and where God's going to do them. Then I figured out it ain't my business. My business is just believe he can. Not when he can, not how he can, not where he can, just he can. That's good enough. I don't need to understand the anatomy and physiology of a miracle. I just need to know my God is able. I can remember one time we were trying to take a day off, and we went to a theme park, and friends of ours, we went, and my wife got under burden, and she said, I need to go back to the room. I feel like I need to pray, so we went back to the room. She prayed. She came out of the closet, I think. She likes to ball up in these closet places. I don't get it. You know, that must be a woman thing. You know, she goes in the closet. I'll be waking up. She's in the closet. I mean, there's a big old couch right over there. That's where I get, you know. That way if I fall asleep, it's something really padded, you know. So she comes out of that, and she said, I don't feel a release. I said, well, just go on back and get released, you know. We went home, and as we got home, we got in the house, and we were unpacking our stuff, and somebody knocked on the door, and they said to my wife, did you just get home? And she said, yeah. She said, hey, did you hear about it? Your oldest daughter? And she said, no, what happened? And she said, the house burned down when they were asleep inside the house. And, of course, horror grips your heart. But she said, but everybody got out safe. Wait a minute. Now, listen. So we got a hold of the oldest daughter, and we tried to ask her what time was this happening and where was it going on. And it was at the same time. Now, we was in one part of California, and they were in another part of California. But in that season of intercessory prayer, did y'all understand what I'm talking about? Brother Godwin, I see a whole lot of nod heading, but ain't no affirmation of what I'm preaching about today. Somebody slid in the gap between death and life. Is anybody hearing what I'm preaching? Somebody stood in the gap and heads and said, no, not this time. How many times have God saved you because somebody stood? Do you understand the privileges? Do you understand the provisions that prayer provides for you and I? Don't you understand that there is a God that's just aching to answer if you would only have enough faith to ask? Don't you know there's a God that's aching to open a door if you had enough faith to start knocking? I wish some apostolics was in the house today. There's a God that wants to do miracles. If somebody would just reach up and say, God, I believe. It was the exact same time. Now, you may not agree with me on this, and it's okay. But I believe that as my wife was balled up in that closet praying, that an angel was dispatched from the throne. There was my daughter, her husband, and her kids, and they was all asleep. And I believe that angel come and said, now, girl, you have to get up. I can't let you die because I got a beneficiary. I've got somebody that's got full coverage, and you're underneath their umbrella protection of the. You're not hearing what I'm preaching today. Honey, that's why you've got to serve God. You've got to serve God because you got children. You got to serve God because you got grandchildren. You don't have time to think about backsliding. If you're not in the church, who's going to pray for them? If you're not in the church, who's going to protect them? If you're not... Hey, brother, you don't have time to backslide. You got a son. You got a daughter. Who's going to stand in the hedge if daddy's not there? If mama's not there? Oh, God, let us realize there's some privileges and provisions that are made when you pray. Benefits to being a child of God. It's not all trials. It's not all tribulation. It's not all, you're not hearing what I'm preaching. It's not all the hearts. There are some days when you're riding high. Come on and help me preach. There are some days when you can feel the Lord. Come on, it ain't all, come on, preach with me for a while. Friend, all we come is we preach to our depression. Why don't we preach to the high points in our life? So, Brother Emery, what are you talking about? It is said by psychologists, psychoanalysts, folks of that kind of ilk, that when in our memory we bring to mind things in our past that have been crisis or devastating or hurtful, that at the time of that memory our brain engages and we relive the whole scenario. Our emotions engage and we can feel like we felt then. That's why Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind. The word forgetting does not mean to erase from your memory. It means to disembrace from your emotions. So I asked a psychologist, I said, sir, if in fact that when I've had the lowest points in my life and crisis and hurts and molestation and all of this, and when I visit them in my memory and I am engaged at that point in my emotions, does that work also for the times when I'm blessed? Oh, I know you don't want to hear this because we want to lay somewhere and wallow in pity. Friend, if I can remember what happened to me that broke me down, how come I can't remember what happened to me that... If I can get an emotional response of crying when I remember something sad, how come I can't get a faith response when I can remember, when I think of the goodness of and all he's done for me? How come he doesn't engage my emotions on the same level of victory that it does on the level of defeat? I say to you that we don't think about the high times enough. I say to you that the devil wants to keep our minds on our low points, on what God is not doing instead of what God is doing, on what we don't have instead of what we do have. You're not helping me preach, but it don't matter anymore. I'm telling you it's time to get your mind out of the gutter and get it in the throne room. Come on, when I look back over my life, my good days outnumber my bad days. My blessed times are better than my mess times. Oh, come on and help me preach a while. I'm telling you, I got more to be thankful for. I got provisions. I got privileges. I'm blessed. I got benefits. Do not buy into the psychobabble of this world. Do not buy into the dysfunctionalism. Everybody's dysfunctional, honey. Get over it. Jesus was dysfunctional. If you want to define it by our definitions, he's the bastardized child of an illiterate affair. People in this town don't even like him. Oh, come on. I know you got this little pretty picture of Jesus. He was the most dysfunctional human being, but it didn't stop him. Okay, show me somebody that's not dysfunctional. Same person you think got it all together, their life's just as crumbled as yours is. They're struggling in the same. You're not hearing what I'm preaching. Why don't you pick your chin up? Square your shoulders back. Let the devil know I'm blessed and you can't do nothing about it. I serve a good God and you can't do nothing about that either. I got privileges. You're not hearing what I'm saying. What I'm going through does not define how God feels about me. He still loves me. Come on, come on. I'm still blessed. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you are. If you are in a prison cell like Paul was, Paul wrote to you and I from a prison cell, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Why? Because even though I'm bound, I've got privileges. Even though I'm shacked up, I've got privileges and power. I'm blessed because of the benefits I have serving a God that's the greatest, the one we have. And so the widow of this slain prophet, this fallen man of God, goes to the prophet in the office and says, look, they're going to take my children. And they're going to put them to servitude. You are my only recourse. I've had garage sales. I've sold everything I can sell. You are my only recourse. And the man of God said, what do you have? And she said, I have nothing but I have a provision. See, sometimes when your faith fails, you have to lean back on the fact that you have a benefit package. It's going to make sense here in a minute. So she says, I've got a small cruse of oil. You know the rest of the story. When Ruth came out of Moab with Naomi, with Myra, they had nothing. She was full when she was there. And when she came back, she was empty. And when you leave God, friend, make no mistake about it. The devil and the world can never treat you as good as God treats you. Never. 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 You've never had it so good. If you quit your flesh from complaining, you figure out something. You're having a good time. As a matter of fact, some of you need to tell your flesh, why don't you shut up? You got me in trouble anyway. Come on and help me. That's the thing. Why are you listening to your flesh? That's what got you into trouble in the first place. That's what got you hooked on drugs in the juke joint on crack cocaine. Why are you listening to that fella? You better listen to the inner man. You got to listen to a voice deeper than your flesh. Myra had nothing. She was a widow. Her faith was gone. She even changed her name to I Am Bitter. And God could do nothing for her. Remember that. She was bitter and God couldn't do anything for her. So she turned to her daughter-in-law because she knew her situation. She knew she was bitter. She understood the consequences. You see, in any benefit, in any package that has beneficiaries, there are things that can disqualify you for the terms of the contract. Y'all better help me now. I said there are things that can disqualify you whether you cannot take advantages of those benefits that are afforded to you. I'm just about done. And so Myra, understanding that she disqualified herself, said to her daughter-in-law, just go over there and gleam in the field. I can't do that. Sure you can. Why? Because there's a provision. God made a provision that they have to leave just a little handful of purpose. Not on purpose, but of purpose. And I just want you to go. And when Boaz saw her glean, he said, leave a little bit more behind because, you know, that honey kind of fine up in there. Because Naomi understood that even in her condition, that God had made provisions for the strangers. Oh, come on and help me. So we come to our text tonight. He said he spoke a parable unto them. And the parable dealt with a widow. The widow had an adversarial situation. And she goes, as the parable would go, to an unjust judge. who the commentator says, or the scripture says, that feared not man nor God, and would not hear her for a while, but then heard her and avenged her of her adversaries. Are you with me now? And so, as my limited theological education will avail me, a parable is supposed to reveal some kind of truth about God or about the kingdom, about the nature of God or the character of God or the attributes of God or the essence of God or something to have to do. And when I look at this, it doesn't do that. And now I am very, very confused at what Jesus is talking about. Because I'm trying to say, is he saying God is unjust? Is God the judge? Are we the widow? So now I'm confused. So I read on. And now I'm just like, what are you talking about in this particular parable? Because it just doesn't ring right to me. And so then I was made to understand that what he's actually saying is this. If this woman, who was a widow, had no husband, and it seems no children, and had no visible means of taking care of herself, this judge was her only recourse. In every scenario, it was their only way out. And I found out by going back in the Bible that there are certain provisions. Excuse me. Isaiah says, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, and plead for the widow. Jeremiah says, thus saith the Lord, execute ye judgment and righteousness, and deliver the spoils out of the hand of the oppressor, and do no wrong, and do no violence to the stranger, the fatherless, nor the widow. And I said, whoa, this lady understood that there was a provision that was made for the widow. Because I want to know, what kind of faith does this woman have to keep her bouncing back in the judge's office and he keepfully ignoring her? That doesn't strike a chord in you. Because she kept coming and he kept ignoring. So I'm thinking, lady, give up. You're going, no way. I'm not giving up. And then I'm thinking, but, oh, okay. There is no hint in the scripture about great faith here. So Brother David says, what's driving her? She found a benefit and a provision in the word that says the judge has got to hear me. I've got no other recourse, and he don't have a choice. The judge has got to hear me, and he has got to do me justice. The word avenge means you must do me justice. You're not hearing what I'm saying. I don't care that you don't fear God. I don't care that you don't fear man. I don't care that you don't care about me. What I care about is you have a duty to avenge me of my adversary, and I'm standing on my bent. Oh, what do you do when, against all odds, when it feels like God is not hearing your prayer? What do you do after that? You've done all to stand. Somebody's not hearing what I'm preaching. I preach to you, we're so easy to give up. I preach to you, we're so easy to walk away. I preach to you, if God don't answer the first 2 seconds, you give up and don't ask again. But I preach to you another deal. We got to have enough faith and find provisions and benefits, and God, I'm not going anywhere. out, you're not hearing what I'm preaching now. If you don't get, if I don't get what I need today, I will be back tomorrow. If I don't get it then, I'll be back the next day. But I'm not leaving because I've got provisions and privileges and a benefit as a child of the King. I'm done. Listen. Takes three things. Listen. The bestowal of benefits and provisions come in stages of three. Number one, there's a collateral office where provisions originate, and that's God. There's a destination of the purpose and the person who the benefits are bestowed upon. That's you and I. And then there's the act of putting the provisions in process. That's all it takes. Somebody with it, somebody that can receive it, and the act of it happening. Whatever happened to folks that just wouldn't give up? Whatever happened to people that even with tears in their eyes, God, if you don't answer me today, it's all right. I know you still love me. I know you still can hear me. And it's all right. I'm not going to walk out of the church because I didn't get my prayer answered. I'll be back tomorrow. It's all right, God. If you don't heal my body, it's fine. I'm going to still shout. I'm going, oh, come on, it don't help. It's all right. I know it's over now. If I never get out of that wheelchair, I'll just shout you and roll around. But I'm not leaving. I've got benefits. I've got privileges. I've got provisions. The Lord, you're not hearing what I'm saying. Jesus was preaching to you and I. He said, if a widow can get what she wants from an unjust judge, how much more can we, as children of the King, get from a just judge? If a woman could get benefits from some man that doesn't even care, what in the world can a child of God get? Oh, you're not hearing me. That says, cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. You're not hearing what I'm preaching. If a woman can get her adversarial conviction fixed by a judge because she's got provisions and privileges under the law, how much more then should we stand in the presence of the Lord and say, God, here I am. Why? We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Don't faint. Don't faint. Don't faint. He said, I say unto thee that he will answer. Though he tarry long, but he shall come speedily. And when he come, will he find faith? If you can find it here, you can stand on it. If you can find it here, you can stand on it. You're not hearing what I'm preaching. You need to let your faith go right now. If you can find a provision, come on, if you can find your benefits, he said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Come on and help me preach. I'll forgive all your iniquities. I'll heal all your diseases. If my people who are called by my name, there's benefits in serving God. You ought to raise your hands. You ought to let your petition and your request be made known. You ought to open your mouth because God, there's provisions and privileges in prayer.